Okay, we're daf kufyud aleph. Hakol moide mechametz acher mechametz shuchayev. Everyone agrees that one who leavens a meal offering after one who already leavened, it's going to be chayev for an additional mechametz process. Because it says lo se'afeh chametz, but lo se'aseh chametz. It shouldn't be leavened, and then it says no offering the sacrifice should be made with leaven. So that shows you that you're going to be chayev for every additional act of leavening that a person does. Now the Gemara says everyone agrees that anyone who castrates somebody after they're castrated, right? It says those whose testicles are bruised, crushed, or torn, cut, should not be offered to Hashem, and you shouldn't do this in your land. So your chayev, presumably, imal karos chayev al notik l'kol shekin. If the part of the vest, you know, part of the, you know, the sac is cut, when the testicles are detached altogether, how much more so? But rather comes to include that one who detaches after one who cuts it is going to be chayev. Noitega for chorus is going to be chayev. Rather, elabazokin, we have to say that it's permitted to use a remedy that causes sterility in an old man who is no longer able to reproduce. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hein ziruni. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say with regard to remedies that restore the ability to give birth, they have restored me to my youth? Meaning Rabbi Yochanan is not referring to barrenness for remedy for barrenness, but rather he remembers those medicines that gives one a greater male virility to allow one to procreate. The Gemara then says, a choshesh b'shinav, one who's concerned about pain in his teeth, lo yigoma behind the chomet, shouldn't sip vinegar through them on Shabbos. Aval metabel hu kedarka, but rather he could dip his food in vinegar in the normal way, v'im nisrapa nisrapa. And if he's healed, he's healed. Hachoshesh b'masnav, one who's concerned about pain in his thighs, cannot shmir lo yosuch yayin b'chomets because it's a medical treatment. However, you could smear oil on them, v'lo shemen vered, but you can't use rose oil. B'nei malachim, princes could smear the rose oil on their wounds because it's the usual way they put it on. Wait a second, Rosh Hashanah says, Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim, and they're all b'nei malachim. All the children of all of them Jewish people are princes. And here, the amarav aleka midi de b'shabes shar b'yom kippurim aser. There's nothing that's mutter on Shabbos and prohibited on Yom Kippur. Meaning, since it's mutter on Shabbos, also permitted on Yom Kippur. The reason to allow bathing on Shabbos doesn't apply on Yom Kippur. Still, Rava permits it due to a, you know, mitoch. And Chazal made a decree that that should be applied equally to whatever degree possible without making distinctions between cases. The daf spills over into a new parak, which is the 15th parak, Eluk Sharim Shechayev Alim. So this has two distinct topics here. One is tying and untying. You know, it's like sort of binyan, and also stira bekelim. We're going to talk about different knots and whatnot. And also the topic of preparing for Shabbos for the rest of the week that also comes up in this parak. So the Gemara begins, Ve'eluk sharm shechayev alam kesher. These are Ve'eluk sharm shechayev. These are the knots that one is chayev for. Kesher gemalim, making a camel driver's knot, but kesher asafanim, a sailor's knot. So just some background information. We had mechametz echer mechametz. There's a prohibition to cause the dough of menachas, either the kometz or the shirayim, the part of the Kohanami, to become leavened. As it says, Kol Hamincha Lo Sa'aseh Chametz. Another pasuk, Lo Sa'afeh Chametz, prohibits baking leavened menachas. And the extra pasuk is used to teach that once the dough of a mincha offering is leavened, each and every subsequent process involved in preparing a baked mincha offering is also going to be prohibited. For example, if one person leavens the dough and another bakes it, they both violate the law. Then there's Masaris Acher Masaris. It's usher to perform a serious castration, as the Torah says, that one is not allowed to do such a thing, and a person who performs castration gets malchus. A person who adds the mutilation to the genitalia caused by another person, that's also going to be chayev in malchus. Okay, then the Gemara talked about psik resh v'lo yomos. We've seen that already. We got into eluk perik, eluk sharm. Now let's get into some deeper ideas over here. So the Brisa says that one is obligated to go to the mikvah, could go in the usual way, even on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Now, is a woman allowed to immerse in those days if her tefillas mitzvah falls at that time? So the Rishonim write that she's not permitted to go in there, even though there may be reasons to permit it. Tosfos and Beitza says that today our tefillas are not considered to be in the proper time. We don't follow the exact schedule of counting days, as is mentioned in the Torah. Rather, we are much more stringent, and we add days in order to be safe. And therefore, a woman's tefillas mitzvah never occurs at the Torah prescribed time. And she can't immerse on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. You know, it was permitted to immerse in those days only because it's a mitzvah to do tefillah bizmana. So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that we paskin lahalacha that tefillah bezmana is not a mitzvah. And according to that opinion, it was never mutter to do a tefillah on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. The recite by Tosfos and Beitza, 18b, explains that going in the mikvah at the right time, even on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, is mutter only in order to handle and to eat taharas, but not in order to be mutter to one's husband. Today, since we do not go in for taharas, a woman is not allowed to immerse in order to be permitted for her husband. Tosfos here cites the Gemara in Tanis, which says that in the name of Chanina Skana Kohanim, even if tefillah is in its proper time as a mitzvah, it's not proper to perform tefillah on Tisha B'Av because it's worthwhile to lose a day of tefillah once a year in mourning over the Beis HaMikdash. And the Yerushalmi rules like Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. The Shulchan Aruch rules that a woman may not immerse in a mikvah on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur because of the first reason, that our tefillahs are not considered to be in their proper time. Now, in the Gemara, Rav says that the halacha follows Rav Shimon, who holds that all Jews are considered to be b'nei malachim. And the Gemara asks how Rav could rule in accordance with Rabbi Shimon here, while elsewhere with regard to Dover Sheinu Miskaven, he paskins against Rav Shimon, and says Dover Sheinu Miskaven is usur. Now, what's the Gemara's question? One ruling is not related to the other. Rav's psak against Rav Shimon with regard to Dover Sheinu Miskaven should have no bearing on his ruling with regard to b'nei malachim. So the Rashba says the Gemara knew from an accepted Mesorah that the most lenient psak that Rav Shimon issued in the laws of Shabbos is the ruling that all Jews are considered to be b'nei malachim. And therefore, if Rav rules in accordance with that kula, then certainly he must agree with all the other less lenient psakim of Rabbi Shimon. The Baal HaMor says, on the contrary, it was an accepted Mesorah that according to Rav, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon at all in the laws of Shabbos. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, how can Rav rule like Rabbi Shimon even in the single halacha of b'nei malachim? The Mishnah and Gemara discuss the malach of kosher, tying a knot. Rashi writes that we learn the malach of tying from the repairs that were done to the threads that tore in the yarias of the Mishkan. Rashi writes further that we learn the malach of untying matir from the chilazon trappers, who would untie their nets in order to adjust their sizes while hunting for the chilazon. The Gemara earlier concluded that the source for both tying and untying from the chilazon trappers. So why does Rashi here quote a different source for the malach of tying? So the Tiferes Yisrael suggests that according to Rashi, a person is chayiv even if he ties an unprofessional knot. Therefore, the nets of the chilazon trappers can't be the source of the malacha tying, because the knots of those trappers tied were professional knots. And for that reason, Rashi says, the source of the malacha tying is from the urios that needed to be repaired.